Chicago's home for sports.
Let me introduce myself.
Cap and Company on ESPN 1000.
Follow us on the gram at Cap and Co. and ESPN underscore Chicago.
Peace up. A-Town.
It's just after 10 here in the great city of Chicago with Chris Black and Daniel Zetterman. I'm David Kaplan. Danny, if you play some sounder that says, oh God, Sheryl Crow's coming on, that will be literally insane.
I do feel bad for Sheryl Crow's Twitter right now because I would assume everyone that just heard Chris's challenge, and Chris is challenging everybody to get Sheryl Crow to call in this show for the biggest name drop contest that we have going on right here on ESPN 1000. I am sure she's being bombarded with people just tweeting her to call.
Yeah, I'm actually looking at her Twitter timeline.
Please include the phone number, guys. 312-332-3776. She can't call in if she doesn't have the phone number. I'm sure she has Cap Cell, and she hits him up late at night for, you know, those late-night DMs.
Whoa, Danny.
Hey, I'm just going on what Cappy told us.
Wow. I mean, come on. She and I, there was a long time ago, man. I wasn't married. Stop.
You know, you ever see the movie Hall Pass, which is a great movie, and the guy that wrote it was at Merkin's kids' bar and bat mitzvah, which is tremendous. We got to meet him. But did you ever see the movie Hall Pass? Are you familiar with the idea of
Yes,
Hall Pass?
100%.
Wife or husband give the other one a Hall Pass. Would Mindy give you a Hall Pass if Sheryl Crow called in and said, hey, it's been a long time, but what if we get that drink?
I am looking at her Twitter timeline.
He ignored your question there,
Danny. Don't talk around my question. Would Mindy Kaplan give David Emmanuel Kaplan the Hall Pass?
Not my middle name.
Would she give you the Hall Pass if Sheryl Crow called in and was like, hey, let's get that drink that you owe me?
Okay, so the Hall Pass, is it just for a drink?
Listen, a Hall Pass means a Hall Pass, buddy. Hall Pass.
Yeah, have you seen the movie?
Yeah.
Okay.
She would be on the list. I could put it that way to you.
Can you give the 30-second story in case someone's joining us now? They have not heard the Sheryl Crow story. Can you just give a quick elevator pitch to what it is?
Yes. I was doing the pre and the post game on radio. I did the pregame show, and one of the Cubs executives, I think it was a guy named Joe Rios, but I might be wrong. It might have been Jim Obojkiewicz. And they came up and said, hey, what are you doing right now? I said, nothing. I'm clear until, you know, I got the post-game show. Would you stop down at box number whatever, down the left field line? There's some people in there, and they have questions about the stadium and the team. They're all from out of town. We don't have time to answer them all. I said, yeah, no problem. They don't tell me who's in there. And I'm a fan of hers. I'm never expecting it's going to be her. I walk in, I sit down. This very beautiful woman is sitting to my right. We're in the back row in front of the skybox outside. And they ask me, what does Emis Katulai mean? All those numbers, AC, blah, blah, blah. Tell us about this and that. And she said, what are you doing now? I said, I'm just going to watch the game, and then I've got to go do the post game. What do you do after that? My radio show. What time is that over? 9 o'clock. We're all going out to dinner. You want to meet me for a drink? Gives me her number, and I've still got it in my phone. Yep.
And we've seen it. We've seen the number.
Correct.
Yeah. Confirmed.
There you go.
Want to meet me for a drink, and you did not go.
I was in dating Mindy. We were going to get engaged in a few months. So I didn't.
All right, team. So everyone.
I'll be honest. There's a little twinge sometimes when I hear a Sheryl Crow song where I'm like, should have had the drink.
Missed opportunity, huh? Okay, so team, this is what we need to do. Tweet at Sheryl Crow to try and convince her to call the show. 312-332-3776. This is the mission now from me to you.
That would be so great if she called in. It would be so great. Just just to talk. Well, what was it like when you came to Wrigley? What do you, where do you like?
Yeah, because that's what we care about. Right?
You can't lead. Like, let's say she called in right now. If I put her on the air and you led with what's it like to Wrigley? No, you can't do that, Cap. You've got to go right in to the reason that she called.
Okay, all right, Cheryl, here's the deal.
Yes.
I got asked to tell you and your group some of the facts about the ballpark in a skybox at Wrigley Field, and you asked me to have a drink, and I was dating someone, and I said no. And I still have your phone number in my phone. So it's one of the little twinges every time I hear one of your songs come on. Yep. That would be funny-ass radio, man. Funny-ass radio.
I know Chris and I would be laughing, and the audience would be not so sure you would be, my friend.
She's like, I have no idea what you're talking about.
She's like, I've never been to Wrigley Field.
Yeah, exactly. Whoever they told you was Sheryl Crow was not. Anyway, 312-332-3776 is our phone number. Brian Urlacher was on Waddle and Sylvie yesterday. I was working in my garage, and it was an excellent interview. He's always great. We've had him on this show. But the question was asked about Mitchell Trubisky, and because of the money he's being paid, will Nick Foles automatically be the starter? Here's Brian.
Yes, I think that the issue for me was that he's making so much more money than Mitch is going to. I don't know what Mitch's contract is, but you pay a guy that much money, how do you make him your backup when, you know, and I think Mitch is the guy still. I still feel like he's, you know, maybe it's going to be an open job. I don't know what they're going to do. We'll all wait and see. But, I mean, to pay a guy that much money to come be your backup just doesn't make sense to me. It's a lot of bread to be sitting on the bench.
Right. That's kind of what I said. I said, follow the money. Usually in the NFL, follow the money. That's why I think that they, you know, the Knicks.
But Mitch was a number two pick in the draft. He's got to be making probably 8 to 10 this year, I would say.
I think so, yeah.
He's getting towards the back end of his deal, so he's going to make good money as well. So maybe they're in level playing field when it comes to money wise per season. I'm not sure, but yeah, I feel like they. I'm hoping they're going to bolster up, you know, some on the offensive side of the football a little bit this year. You know, get some players, hopefully a receiver or two to help out Mitch and Robinson. I know they signed a tight end, correct? They paid somebody.
Jimmy Graham.
Yeah. So maybe that'll help a little bit, you know, in that aspect. With that position, we were struggling. So it'll be nice to get somebody in there and catch the football and get open.
We weren't big fans of that signing, the Jimmy Graham. Like, we would love Jimmy Graham back when you were playing. Yeah, but not Jimmy Graham now.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. You know, he played with Aaron Rodgers. He didn't do his numbers weren't great. I'll say that.
Right.
He didn't play with Aaron Rodgers. But, you know, the Bears may use him differently. You know, he wasn't the main guy there. They had some pretty good weapons there. You know, Devontae, they had a good running back there. Maybe he'll be used differently here. And Coach Nagy can definitely find a way to get him the football. I believe that. You know, if the guy's got some talent, he'll give him the football. We got to protect our quarterback, though, number one. You know, we got to get guys healthy up front and run the football and protect our quarterback, keep him upright.
Well, that's kind of where I'm at as well. Like, I don't care if it's Mitch or it's Nick. Whoever's behind center, they've got to run the football significantly better than
they
did last year.
I agree. You know what? And this is not a knock on the player. I didn't love the signing of Robert Quinn. I liked him. He had a great season last year. Really good football player. I just don't. You know, you pay Khalil all this money. You know, he gets all this money. And you have Akeem Hicks, who's a badass in the middle, making all this money. I understand you get rid of Floyd. But, I mean, do you need to spend that much money on another guy up front? I just, you know, I'm just trying to divvy up the money here. I'm trying to balance out the offense with the defense a little bit.
So, interesting stuff from Brian Urlacher. Look, I love the Robert Quinn signing. They need to be able to get to the quarterback, and that's why I like the signing. And moving on from Leonard Floyd and getting a better football player at that position, that's the cost. I like it. We'll see what absolutely happens at the quarterback spot, but there's his thoughts on Mitchell Trubisky. 312-332-3776 is the phone number. And I want to play this one more time earlier because we were discussing, does it mean that Foles is the quarterback because of how much more responsibility could fall at that position because there'll be no OTAs, probably no mini camps, and possibly, if we have one, a shortened training camp? This is Dan Orlovsky on Get Up.
First of all, let's look at the teams that I think will be, you know, we'll use it as a benefit. We'll use it as a separation in comparison to other teams. I look at teams like Seattle and New Orleans and Green Bay and Kansas City. These teams that have really like outspoken alpha male leaders at quarterback. Because what's going to happen is the quarterbacks are going to have to become basically mom and dad. They're going to have to become head coach, strength coach, conditioning coach, individual coach. And really it's going to be like calling your strength coach, hey, what's the workout for today? I'll make sure that everybody in our team gets it. Use technology, Skype or FaceTime or Zoom. And hey, head coach, what would be our team meeting today? And then make sure that everybody on your team gets it. An individual coach, what's the install today? What would we have put in play-wise? I will run the meeting and you hold everybody accountable. So those teams that are solidified with their leaders, they're going to be in a good place because those alpha males will take control.
So there you have it. So Danny and Chris and I were talking earlier, is that a bad thing for the Bears? If that is true, does that affect them with Mitchell Trubisky? 312-332-3776. The Nets' Kevin Durant leads the field of 16 in the NBA 2K20 tournament on ESPN. Will you watch? That's next.
This is Cap and Company.
Missed something? Podcasts are ready on the ESPN Chicago app.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
All right, welcome back. ESPN 1000.
This is breaking news on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
More bad news. Wimbledon has been canceled for the first time since World War II because of the coronavirus pandemic. Wow. Wimbledon was scheduled to be played on the outskirts of London from June 29th to July 12th. And it now joins a growing list of sports events that have been scrapped in 2020 because of COVID-19.
Very sad. Have you ever been to a major tennis tournament?
No.
Chris?
No.
Is that on your bucket list, like going to U.S. Open?
Not even a little bit.
Or Wimbledon?
I mean, breakfast, what is it, the strawberries, and what do they do at Wimbledon?
Cream. Yep, some cream.
Strawberries and cream or something. Listen, if I was there in London, like vacationing, and somebody gave me tickets, would I go? Probably yes. Is it something that I'm circling, like I have to be there? Absolutely not.
Okay, so here's my topic on this. Ready? This is one that I keep in my back pocket all the time because I think about things like this when I sit at home. Wimbledon and tennis. Tennis overall is a sport. When I'm consuming it, I thoroughly enjoy. But I don't seek out to watch it almost ever. Yet when I do sit down and consume a big tennis match, I think there are very few things that I find as fascinating as watching tennis when I actually commit to watching it. Do you guys ever feel that way? Like, there are sports that take place that may not be in our top three. If you had to list off your top three sports, top three things to watch, you usually don't hear tennis in the grouping. But when I watch it, I enjoy it. I enjoy the competition. I enjoy the athleticism. I enjoy the speed, the ability to have precision, everything, the back and forth. I enjoy all of that with tennis. I just don't actively seek out tennis to consume. Do you guys know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
This is something that I find myself in thought a lot about sports like tennis. I just recently watched on HBO the 24/7 for Kelly Slater. Uh-huh. So it's about pro surfing.
It's great, isn't it? It's outstanding.
It's fantastic. I don't know anything about professional surfing, but I was thoroughly interested and enjoyed what I consumed. And I feel like back in the day, remember when ESPN2 used to have like the weightlifting competitions, like the World's Strongest Man, like that stuff was great. And it's not just to list off obscure sports, but like I could sit down, and I think that's partially why I enjoy the Summer and Winter Olympics so much, because it gives you a reason to dedicate some time to sports that you wouldn't usually say are the NFL, NBA, NHL, Major League Baseball.
Like, I'm where Danny is, that if we were in London and it was going on and someone said, hey, you can get I can get you tickets, I'll pay for them. You can buy tickets, you can go to Wimbledon. Yeah, that would be cool to go, I went to one of the great events. But would I go, hey, Mindy, let's plan a trip around Wimbledon. Now, the British Open in Scotland? Yes, 100%. That is on our bucket list. Like, next year is the, well, it would have been the 150th. If they don't play it this year, next year will be the 149th. But I want to go to St. Andrews. I want to go over there and see where the home of golf is.
But is there a sport cap that when you are forced or you find yourself sitting down and consuming it, you think to yourself, ah, I mean, you know, like the one thing that I always think about is like, yeah, I really don't try to watch tennis, but I really like watching tennis. Is there a sport like that?
Yeah, I mean, I could put it on if it's like a huge match, but no, I'm not a huge tennis.
It doesn't have to be tennis. Danny,
no,
is there
just
a sport
with you on tennis? A little bit auto racing at times.
Okay. I'll watch
NASCAR once in a while and go, that actually was really cool.
I see what Chris is saying. Like, if tennis is on and it's a good match, I will get sucked in. And before you know it, I'm consumed with the match and I'm invested in it and I don't want to turn it off and I'm enjoying every second. I find the Olympics, I love the Olympics. I'm an Olympics fan. So when the Olympics come on every 2 years, whether it be summer or winter Olympics, I'm all into the Olympics and I'm watching sports that normally I wouldn't care about. Another one that I'm like with that is the X Games. I don't go out of my way to seek out extreme sports that often, but when ESPN's showing the X Games, I'm all in. And with this coronavirus pandemic and them replaying old sporting events, I have really become back dedicated to wrestling. I've been watching wrestling with my boys. I don't go out of my way looking for it, yeah. But I'll tell you this. On Sunday night when they're replaying WrestleMania and I put it on, I'm glued to the couch. I'm watching it like it's the first time I've ever seen it. I'm back to being that 14-year-old kid that loves WWF. So I understand what Chris is saying. I don't seek those sports out. But when they're on my TV, I get fully vested.
I'm with you 100% on the X Games. I never set in my day planner that I'm going to watch some X Games, nor do I ever think about it. But if I somehow stumble across it, I stay because I'm interested, especially the winter X Games when you have snowboarding or any of the big jump stuff like that, the mogul, the hills, anything like that. Whatever they're doing, I'm all in on X Games stuff, and I wouldn't qualify myself as a alternative sports fan. You know what I'm saying?
The X Games do nothing for me.
Yeah, I think it's very fascinating.
To see what some of these people can do on a... I can barely ski down a hill. Go take me to Alpine and watch me on the bunny hill. You'll laugh. So what these guys are doing on skis or snowboards, these gals are doing, it's amazing. And you start watching it, you just can't believe the tricks they're doing. And they're so well-produced. I'm with Chris on that.
Yeah, look, I'm not disputing that they're amazingly
talented.
Sounded
like you just besmirched it.
You tried to just downplay it. Like, nah, that's silly for kids.
Tony Hawk, yeah, he's crap.
No,
yeah.
They're amazingly talented.
What sport did Tony Hawk was the king of the hill in? If you don't get this, you give back your sports card credentials.
Say the question again.
Tony Hawk is the Michael Jordan of a sport.
Yeah, skateboarding.
All right, Kaplan.
That's it.
Shaun White is the Michael Jordan of an X game sport.
That's correct. And I will tell you a Shaun White interaction that I had.
Well, what's the sport first?
It would be the half pipe and things like that. Snowboarding.
Okay, very well done.
Shaun White, they came to me. Sarah Lauk, my dear friend.
What's Shaun White's nickname?
Hold on a second.
The Flying Ketchup.
Flying Tomato.
There you go. Chris gave it to you.
I know, but I would have gotten it because I interviewed him. So Sarah Lauk, my friend from NBC Sports Chicago, comes to me. She goes, hey, would you please have Shaun White on Sports Talk Live on a talkback? I'm like, no. She's like, he's a huge star. I'm like, it's the stupidest request I've ever heard.
You're the biggest hater in the world.
I'm like, I'm not putting him on.
Hater?
Yeah. So she's like, Cap, he's a big name.
What year was this?
Last year.
No. It's got to be.
After he won 7 golds in 1 Olympics.
This is probably 3 years ago. He was still huge.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, I'm not putting on a snowboarder. Dumb. Bad. Bad programming. Stick to creating amazing content. That's not it. And so then she comes back to Cap. You have to put him on. Okay, fine. I put him on. Here's how I start the interview. Sean White joins us on Sports Talk Live. Sean, I got to tell you what a thrill this is. I'm one of your biggest fans, man. And I can hear in my ear, you are the worst. Dude, we had an amazing interview. That guy was awesome. And now I'm like a fan of his. When he's on, that guy's cool.
You know, when you talk to him, he had 3 gold medals in the Olympics, not to mention like the 75 other medals in the X Games. It's not like you talk to him back at like he got big in 03. It's not like you talk to him in 02 before anyone knew who he was. No. You talked to him 3 years ago.
Right.
The dude was an Olympic gold medalist and a like 15-time X Game champion.
Like actually 3 years ago, he was like he's past his prime. Like 3 years ago, the stories at his last Olympic Games were, can the old-timer still get it done? That was the story around Sean White. It was no longer the phenom, the teenage superstar trying to win as many as he can. It was, this guy's over the hill. Can he do it one more time? The classic story that we all love. Cap's like, no chance. I don't want to talk to him.
All right, and then we ended up putting him on, and he was really good.
Yeah.
I mean, just a really good interview. 312-332-3776. Matt is in Peoria. He's up. Hey, Matt, what's up, buddy?
Hey, Cap. I was just going to say that I got into, I never was into it, but there's this really cool Formula One show on Netflix. They do like a background of the whole, like behind the scenes kind of thing of the whole previous year's season. And they shoot it really cool, and they show, like, behind-the-scenes stuff, and it got me into Formula One, and then I kind of watch it.
Yeah, when Danny and I flew to Arizona, we both watched Ford versus Ferrari, and I'm like, yeah, I don't know. And it was awesome. Have you seen that movie?
That movie's awesome.
That movie's spectacular. Spectacular. Loved it. So, hey, man, have a good day. Stay safe and healthy down there, okay?
Yeah, yeah, I will, man. Thank you. You too.
You too. See ya. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. So I said to you guys this morning, I talked to somebody in the advertising world who spends a fortune, millions on sports advertising. And then I talked to a good friend of mine who is the beneficiary of selling his products to advertisers, his TV rates, his rights. And I said, how do you think this whole thing that we're living with is going to change things? Both guys said to me that it will affect the sports landscape and economy for the better part of the next decade. They said, you're talking about people, first of all, season ticket holders who won't be able to keep season tickets. You're talking about teams that are losing hundreds of millions of dollars between advertising, lost ticket revenue, lost licensing on memorabilia and jerseys and hats and all of that stuff. And they said players that have elected, I'm going to go year to year, I'm going to try and hit a home run in free agency, they're in for a rude awakening because a lot of these teams are going to go, we don't have it. We can't pay it. And it's really scary to think of where we may be headed, and I'm simply talking from a sports perspective. Coaches probably will not lose jobs as easily. There was not one basketball change in a Power 5 conference this year. Not one. And the average year is between 30 and 50 Division I jobs change. Many in the Power 5 conferences. Because as Jim Phillips said the other day from Northwestern when he was on, you're making a multi-million dollar commitment to the new guy and in many cases, millions to buy out the old guy. Can't happen anymore. Schools don't have the money. And we don't know what the future is and how long this is going to take. So crazy stuff, man. how this could change the sports landscape for eons. Chris, Jim Boylan very easily could be the head coach of the Bulls next year. They've got no revenue coming in. They don't know when they're getting back on. They want to make changes in their front office. It's got to be part of the equation of, hold on a second. You want me to fire a coach, pay another guy four times what he's making, and bring in a new president of basketball operations to pay him how much? And that's going on in every front office in every sport.
Yeah, I don't doubt that that's going on in every front office. I would then retort that by saying, if you're a team that was already losing fan interest before this took place, and then the dollars from the fans of expendable income starts to shrink even more, I would feel like there might be more reason to act to then try and drum up some kind of an attitude to get people to want to come back.
Maybe.
Because I think if you take the approach that you just kind of laid out there, where you had plans, but now you won't do that, and it's just going to be more of the same, I think you're going to lose the fan base altogether for a very long time. But if you say, hey, we understand you guys are you out there are going through tough times yourselves. We want to have the best possible product to give you something to be proud about, right? And so we are making these changes, even though we don't necessarily know if the dollars will follow or if we have the ability to do everything we dreamed of. But we are going to do this and set this plan to action because we want you, the fan, the diehard fan, to come back to us and spend your money, even though we know it's hard for you right now, to enjoy our product. So I think you could look at it both ways.
You could, but you could also say, okay, let's use the Bulls as an example. We'll talk about that on the other side. Before we get out of here and before we crosstalk with Carmen and Yurko at noon, we got to hear Nick Foles made a statement yesterday. So that's all on the table, but I do want to continue this discussion because this one advertiser said to me, dude, everyone thinks, oh, everyone's going to stay home and watch all the games. No one will be there, so everyone will buy advertising. He goes, our budgets are getting slashed just like everybody else's. We'll be right back.
It's Cap and Co. Follow us on the gram at Cap and Co. and ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Rolling on ESPN 1000 with Danny, with Chris. I'm Cap. If you know Sheryl Crow, get her to call in. That's Chris's challenge to everybody. Get Sheryl Crow to call in. I checked at the break her Twitter, and it is just ridiculous how many tweets she is getting. I mean, one after another. Here's one of them. Hello, Ms. Crow. I'm here in Chicago, and I'm a big fan. ESPN 1000 is having a contest today to have a celebrity call into the radio station. David Kaplan runs the show, and he said you once asked him out for drinks at Wrigley Field. Can you call in and talk to David, please? That was Corey Polk. Charles, please call Sheryl Crow. Please call ESPN Chicago, 312-332-3776. Some guy at the Catman said he turned you down to have a drink with him. It's not like I turned her down. I just said I'm in a relationship. So, anyway, pretty funny. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. So, Sheryl, call the show. She's only got 332,000 followers on Twitter. Be pretty funny. She lives in Nashville. Maybe she knows Cousin Jay down there, Danny.
If she does, she'll never call this show. If she's friends with Jay Cutler and the way you bash and trash Jay Cutler, she's not calling the show.
She's incredible, man. I love Sheryl Crow.
Let's not only focus on Sheryl Crow.
Yeah, it could be anybody.
We want her to call, but let's not. I mean, not every Cap and Company listener has to focus on Sheryl Crow. We'd like to also talk to some other huge name stars. We've got to beat Waddle and Sylvie. I like to think that we were winning after day one, but right now, after 3 days of the contest,
we got
Waddle
smashed.
And Sylvie are winning this thing.
Yeah, No question about
it. If I had a vote and I don't make the vote, the boss, Mike Thomas, makes the vote. But me, in my eyes, Hank Azaria is the leader in the clubhouse. Not only was he Hank Azaria, he also was Brockmeyer, and it was a hilarious conversation.
Who else did they have call in?
They had Mike Singletary. They had Patrick Renna. They had Chris Cluey.
Okay. All right. I want to continue this discussion. Do you guys think, truly, as I had two people in the business tell me last night, that we could be affected financially in professional sports and college sports, talking about big-time college sports, for the better part of a decade? Because they said you're talking about years for people to rebuild their lives if they were affected by corona, whether it was in a financial way, whether it was with their health. They said it's going to affect season ticket bases. You're going to literally have teams that are going to ask for your season ticket money, and people are going to go, I've been a season ticket holder for 30 years. Can't do it. Lost my job. I'm out. That was their disposable income. And then you're going to have advertisers who are fixtures who are going to go, we cut our budgets 50, 60, 70% because we have no sales. Can't do it. Like, there's this school of thought. I've read some articles that people think, well, just wait. When they start playing games with nobody in, everyone's going to watch. The ratings will be insane and the advertising dollars will flow. Yeah, a few events. NFL football, maybe. But there'll be a lot of sporting events that are going to fall by the wayside. 100%. The rich will get richer and the have-nots will really struggle. Like, if you were a player now and you turned down good extensions, do you think that we're going to see it fall out on what guys get paid? Or do you think it will come right back? Allen Robinson's got a free agency coming up. He's going to get paid. This guy's going to get paid in that sport. Chris Bryant's going to get paid $250 million in that. Do you think it's going to come back quickly?
Well, it's all specific to the salary cap. I know baseball doesn't have one, but they have the luxury tax. But the other sports, the salary cap, the salary floor, that's what will determine it, right? So, like, if you have to spend the money that you have, guys will get the contracts. I don't know. I, of anyone to be concerned about with what we're dealing with, I don't have the part of my being where I'm, like, concerned about someone turning down a $400 million contract.
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about we're going to have stadiums where people can't pay for their tickets any longer.
Yeah, like, no,
it's going
I'm
to
aware
affect
of that.
Everything.
And so stadium ops, teams are going to have to change the way they do business.
100%.
I get that. I don't really care that Mookie Betts passed on a $400 million deal, and now he's only going to get $275. See what I'm saying? Like, my head is there are people trying to pay rent today.
That's my point.
And people who are worried about paycheck to paycheck and just being okay to stay where they're at and getting through this okay. So, like, in my head, athletes,
well, I think you're misunderstanding me. I'm not talking about the athlete perspective. I'm talking about it's going to drastically affect everything that we watch.
Yeah. So
everything.
To finish what I was saying is, in my head, the logistics of that type of thing, I assume, will just work itself out because dollars will go to that at some point. Now, restaurants, your small business owners in your specific hometown and where you're living at, I don't know if the dollars will return or if those people will be able to reopen their businesses. So I just don't really, like, the headspace I'm in is not being concerned over how will billionaire owners be able to fill their stadiums that they had the public pay for them to begin with. You know what I'm saying? Like, that to me doesn't
I'm not talking about that perspective. I'm talking about the bar owner who relies on people to come in to watch said team. Said team can't do it. Like, the trickle-down effect is going to hit everybody. Everyone. The ad revenue will not be there to the degree it ever was. I think it's going to change the way we live. Like, if they said to you July 1, okay, you're safe to go back out eating, are you going to be packing in like sardines at your favorite restaurant? I don't think I am.
Well, but I think
I would have pause. I think they will seat people differently. I think everything's going to be different.
What we're living through now is going to change the world forever. And some will be in positive ways.
Mm-hmm.
I think what this is doing right now is letting us take time to be with our families. It's giving us time if you've had hobbies or things you wanted to take care of. Always in life, you don't have enough time to do things. And what this is giving us is more time. Let's be honest. We're not running to take our kids to sport, you know, their sports and after school programs. We're not running to hang out with friends. We're not running to do things. So we've gotten some of our time back. So in that way, it's a positive thing. We've gotten more time back. And maybe when this all ends, we'll all appreciate our time a little bit more and not run. And we'll realize that time's the only commodity you can't make more of. In other ways, though, I do think that the world's going to change. Take, for instance, people that work in offices, right? You may never have to go to an office again. I think after this happens and people are working from home, if you own a business and you're paying a great deal of rent to rent office space and you realize that your workers are just as competent and just as productive working from home, why would you spend that money on office space and spend that money on office supplies and spend that money on insurance and maintenance and cleaning if you don't have to, if your employees can work just as productively at home?
Yeah, I'm just not convinced you can run a successful business long term. I'm not talking about in an emergency, where you don't have a culture. Everyone's working from home always.
But there's global, like my wife works for a company. It's a big company and it's a global company. People on her specific team live in Cleveland, live in Detroit, live in London, live in Paris. She doesn't see those people ever. They have a great culture. They use Zoom even not during coronavirus so they can see each other. They communicate really well. So they're, you know, when
but that's a rarity. Most companies aren't.
I disagree.
Like that.
I think most big businesses, most global companies, they don't see each other not all the time anyways, especially when you're dealing with offices in multiple cities. Sure, little places like, you know, our company, we need to see each other and be together to do our jobs. But I don't know if that applies to the whole.
Yeah, I think it does. But it's an interesting discussion.
How many businesses have you run?
I fortunately have run very little. 312-332-3776. I'd love to have you participate in this discussion. Coronavirus TV is interesting viewing as well. We discuss some of the interesting backgrounds we're seeing. Next.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
Stream ESPN 1000 easily on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
You're listening to Cap and Company on ESPN 1000.
So coronavirus TV is interesting viewing. I was talking via text with the great Eddie Olczyk this morning. Like, I do sports talk live from my basement via Zoom. And then, like, today, got our panel together, and our panel will all be on Zoom.
What about your fine panel yesterday? What's happening there, Cap?
I had Christopher. Man,
you're only talking about today's panel. What about yesterday's panel?
I was about to bring that up, that okay. You were right. On.
Yes, I was. From the kitchen. I was in my kitchen.
Yeah. You had a good, strong signal on your Wi-Fi. We did it.
Listen, Cap, I'm always working with a good, strong signal.
We did it via Zoom. And I'll do it again today. And so your backdrop was just like some art, right? A couple pictures?
Some pictures from our wedding day.
There you go.
Yeah, it's in our kitchen.
Like on an angle or something?
Yeah, they're on an angle. Yeah, right. You can't just line them up just straight across. You have to do something with it.
Yeah, Autumn did a good job on that.
Yeah, I agree. I totally.
Anyway, my backdrop, because I'm in my basement, is four Blackhawks jerseys. Savard, Hull, Makita, Esposito, all framed, all signed. And so I have those down there. The other wall has two signed jerseys that I got that I bought at auction. Well, one I bought in an auction, and the other one was given to me when I had said celebrity in the studio. He sent it to me as a gift saying thank you for doing like a 40-minute interview with him. Never expected it. It was amazing. So I have framed jerseys on the other side of Magic Johnson and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Like, amazing. I can't do a Chicago TV show with Laker jerseys behind me. So I've got an Ozzie Guillen jersey down there. I've got an Ernie Banks jersey down there.
And when you started doing the show from home, you had a picture of Secretariat behind you.
Correct. And my wife said, take it down.
Why?
Because it's smaller, not much, than the other three Hawks jerseys. She's like, that just looks dumb. She goes, just have him behind you. That's fine. Don't have three Hawks jerseys. Take one of them down and put Secretariat right there.
It looked like he was peering over your shoulder, watching over you. And that's what it looked like.
He's the greatest, or was the greatest. But I just, Eddie and I were texting. Like, you turn on some of these channels, and a lot of people are doing their TV stuff from home, and they have to set their Emmy Awards behind them. It's like, really? Really? So when they tell you, hey, you're going to do your show from home, honey, get the Emmys down. Really?
I mean, if I had them, I would have put them behind me in my kitchen. Yes, confirmed. I would have done the same thing.
What's the difference between them doing that and you strategically placing your jerseys behind you?
I didn't strategically place them. They've been there for years.
You said you had a Secretariat and your wife told you to change it.
I brought Secretariat down from the family room. You've seen it. You know it exists. And I took down Tony Esposito and put Secretariat there.
That's what I'm saying. You specifically put Secretariat for the shot, right?
Well, he's a sports figure. It's a little different than me going and getting my Emmys and going, honey, help me set these Emmys up so people can see them. I don't know.
But you set up your background to look appealing for your show. What's wrong with people doing the same thing? Me personally, have become obsessed with the background when people do hits from their home. Obsessed. When it's SportsCenter, I'm constantly evaluating who's on SportsCenter by their background.
Yeah.
I'll say this. Matt Hasselbeck's house is incredible. I want to be his best friend just because when he's on SVP from his home, his living room, wherever it is, mm-hmm. that room looks immaculate. And then I'll say this, and I mean it with peace and love, because nobody loves Lewis Riddick except for maybe Waddle and Sylvie more than I do. But Lewis Riddick's backdrop, when he does his SportsCenter hits, does not match who I think Lewis Riddick is. He's in front of some dinky brown old wood case with some horrible wallpaper on the wall. Like, that doesn't fit who Lewis Riddick is. And I'm constantly evaluating people on TV based on what's behind them in their homes.
Can you grade my background? Can you take a look at it at some point here during the show and let me know if
Chris
I need to adjust?
Chris had a very crisp, clean look.
Well, I'll say this. I feel like Chris's apartment condo is very chic. I saw the other day his wife, Autumn, Instagrammed him on the couch doing an Instagram Live with Adam Abdallah, and he had one wall that was all windows, and you could see outside the beautiful skyline of the city. So I'm sure whatever was behind Chris matched his appearance.
I would like a grade on a grading scale of A, B, C, D, F, go home. Any of those options. So I'll bring up a picture for you later.
All right, okay? I will grade you. Right. But like Lewis Riddick, he's got to do better. Matt Hasselbeck, really nicely done. You know what's odd? Brian Windhorst, never see his house behind him. He's always got some weird backdrop.
Yeah, like a green screen, right?
So I'm wondering if he lives in like hoarding Buried Alive, or like he doesn't want people to see his house. But like that, this is like the one part of coronavirus that I actually like appreciate is being taken inside these celebrity homes.
Now, your dog was sitting next to you on the couch while we did the show yesterday.
Correct.
Right?
Yoshi was asleep.
That's great.
Stanley and Sparky were upstairs because they're very playful dogs and they are noisier.
Again, if NBC Sports Chicago can set it up to get the three dogs on the screen with Cap for Sports Talk Live, that will be fantastic.
We're working on it.
Okay, please do. Because I'm really looking forward to you hosting Sports Talk Live with the three dogs.
What if I could have them all at the dining room table with their little paws?
Yeah, exactly,
right,
yes. That would be great.
Me at the head of the table and the three of them at the table. That'd be amazing. Yoshi at one head and the other two on the sides. Be really funny. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. We are going to talk to Shea Pepler Cornett. She used to host with us here. She now lives in Connecticut with her husband, Jordan, and she's also doing satellite radio. Let's go to the phones, though. Steve's on the north side. Hey, Steve, what's up, man?
How you guys doing?
We're hanging in there.
Yeah, we all are. I'm a remote employee. I've been doing it for almost 8 years now.
Uh-huh.
And I got to say, it's not for everybody, but our entire enterprise division are all remote employees. So it can be done.
I'm not saying it can't be done, but 48% of the private workforce work in small businesses. They're not all remote employees. That was my point. I think to build a culture in your offices is exceedingly important. And if nobody ever sees anybody, it's a pretty impersonal way to do business. Now, I get that it works for some. Appreciate your call, man. Stay safe. Stay healthy out there. We're going to talk to Shea Pepler in just a moment. She's doing football for Sirius Radio now. She is a dear friend, and she was our partner here for a while, and now she's back out east with Jordan. They live in Connecticut. He works for the ACC Network. We'll take a quick time out. We are back in exactly 2 minutes.